You're listening to the Sun Microsystems Podcast Network. Welcome to another edition of Innovating at Sun with your host, Hal Stern. Today's topic, Sun Open Work. And now, here's Hal Stern.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Innovating at Sun. I'm your host, Hal Stern, Vice President of Global Systems Engineering. My guest today is Ann Bamsberger, who's Vice President of the Open Work Services Group inside of Sun. So, Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Hal. It's good to be here.
And I hope you're doing this from the comfort of your home or somewhere else that's a mobile work location.
Hey, as an evangelist of the network being the computer, I can work from anywhere, and I will not disclose what I'm wearing.
Well, I think that's it's a good thing. Certainly, I would say the trade press has started to pick up on green computing and sustainable computing, not just as nice for the environment, nice to have, but really critical views now of how do we build a long-term, sustainable managed compute infrastructure. So I know that this is something you've been driving for a while in the Open Work program, so why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about what Open Work is and what some of your goals are.
Okay, well, thank you for the opportunity. I have been involved with Open Work for over 8 years at Sun, and I've watched it evolve from being very experimental to becoming virtually one of our lifestyles, one of the ways that we do work at Sun. It clearly took advantage of our networking capabilities and played upon the ability of the employee and the management team to work from anywhere. And over time, we've learned how to accommodate the work from anywhere, not by just creating the ability to work from home, but by also creating drop-in centers, team spaces, open work cafes. We've basically grown the program from being a pilot to being much more of a run rate program for Sun Microsystems overall, and frankly for our customers and partners as well, as we've attempted to connect people through technology and obviously social practices to be able to work across distance and time as effectively as they possibly can.
Great. So, you know, as we talk about essentially being office-less or being a mobile workforce, what do you think that does for our culture as a company?
Well, you know, I've watched that evolve too, Hal. I want to stress the point that open work is really about choices for individuals, managers, and work groups. So it's not intended to be virtual by any stretch of the means. It's intended to provide options. So for those individuals who can be virtual, what a terrific opportunity to bring in intellectual capital that otherwise would be not able to join a workforce for whatever constraint reasons. But also, we do provide very interesting new team environments that allow for the collaboration that we certainly don't want to lose. So while we're rapidly learning about virtual collaboration, distance collaboration, global reach, we still provide very interesting and fun and cool places for people to convene when a face-to-face meeting and or occasion is more appropriate. We certainly don't encourage forcing people to meet just for any kind of a pass-down communication because, frankly, people resent having to come in for something like that. But if indeed a manager or a leader wants to bring people together to do something creative and do some brainstorming and do some give and take, people enjoy coming in for that, and they'll make the extra commute to come in for something meaningful. But we've learned over time, Hal, that people actually resent coming in for stuff that doesn't really require having to come in. So it puts a little more pressure on managers to figure out how to be leaders and how to figure out what's the most appropriate, quote-unquote, channel for collaboration and communications. And frankly, I think that's going to be necessary in the next generation. New kids coming out of college have different expectations about work styles. So culturally, I think it's actually been very interesting. We've not forced anything, so we've learned to really very, very carefully enable and watch for next generation behaviors.
And I would say, you know, to that point of you know, people being used to working on the net and consuming services on the net, part of this change, I would say, is the dissolution of the view of my PC, my desktop, my personal computer, and that it's your data and your services that matter, not the actual device that you're using?
Absolutely. And we're seeing that more and more as the younger generations are starting to come into the workforce. Again, you know, I'm not going to tell you what I'm wearing as I sit here at home on the phone, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am either. But I certainly myself have learned quite a bit about behavior and adapting to some new expectations about communicating. And frankly, people nowadays don't really need to have their stuff in their office. They're so comfortable with having their tools and their information on the net that they're perfectly happy with their little, you know, local portable device. And I think the more the rest of us can see how that isn't just a trend, it's reality, any kind of what used to be, I have the corner office on the sixth floor of a building so that my parents will be proud, we're seeing much, much, much less of that as people don't use hard-walled offices or any kind of accoutrement around their desk as being a sign of their identity and status as much as that used to be important. There are a whole lot of new identities emerging and a whole lot of new status symbols. I mean, granted, we're still human, and we are always going to need that. But the old symbols of status and identity are rapidly moving aside as the ability to be flexible, the ability to travel, the ability to access your information from anywhere and communicate with whomever you wish is becoming much more vital.
So, you know, as we look at this issue of putting more things onto the network and more services on the network, I would say this is something that our customers and Sun's customers are as interested in as Sun is. I would say the first thing is there's a cost savings and I would say an added sense of security. So I'll ask you to start by talking a little bit about some of the internal benefits of open work. You know, why is it such a popular topic, you know, based on what we've seen?
Well, from multiple different points of view, if you kind of took a look at the value proposition for the employee, it clearly is about the freedom to work from anywhere. But there's also a real benefit to the company because as people are choosing to be more virtual and to work from lots of different places, they're using their individual offices less and less. What used to be go into the office to do your work, depending on the nature of the work, if it's really just email or heads down work, there's no reason to go into anything. You can do that from home. So what we've seen over time is that the historical design, the historical office design that we're also familiar with, you know, either seas of open cubes or lines of closed desks, whatever the world is designing, we're seeing less and less occupancy. And so we've been able to reduce real estate dramatically to accommodate the new emergent ways of working and actually to build more interesting environments that are more team-oriented. We're finding that people do come in, but they come in to be with other people. They don't come in just to go sit in an office by themselves. So we've been able to save approximately $70 million a year by the constant reduction in real estate that we're able to take advantage of as we find these places being less and less used. Now, we do reinvest that in new technologies and new work practices. So, but net savings to Sun has been about $70 million a year over the last few years because, obviously, it continues to accrue as we can reduce space more and more.
So tell me a little bit more about, outside of the physical cost savings of allowing us to make better use of real estate and better use of physical location network access points, how about the data security, the data management aspect?
You know, we're so lucky in that since we are a very distributed work model, we also take advantage of the thin client technology. And one of our premier technologies, the Sunray technology, which is a thin client device, has allowed our people really to move from any kind of hardware, if you will, on a desk to a thin client software where you can use your Java card to essentially use universal login wherever you go. So our folks don't really carry laptops around, although they can, and if they need to, they do. But our primary employee on the inside has a Java card, which is also their security badge, and that card has their identity on it and can be plugged into basically any workstation, any dumb terminal that's sitting in some of these group spaces, that are sitting in the lounges, that are essentially, many people also have these from home, as I do. So my only device is a Java card, and I plug it into my Sunray at home, and I plug it in when and if I do go to the office, And this particular technology, my goodness, it not only saves electricity, but for the corporation, it saves millions in sysadmin costs because we're not constantly dealing at the local level. We're dealing at the back end. So I believe at the moment Sun is experiencing as much as $24 million annually just from the thin client technology that we take advantage of.
And your mention of managing the administration from the back end out, from the data center out, to me is, I would say, one of the interesting points in that it forces us to become data-centric. It forces us to think about what the data is and how it's being managed and where we're managing it from. And you made an interesting point about the Sunray technology allowing us to go manage from the data center out, that we focus on the services we're providing and the data that we're managing in a very centralized way.
Right.
And we become less sensitive to the location of its consumption. I would say that, to go back to your previous point about managers thinking about our culture, that we have the same, almost the same thing happening now in terms of how we manage our employees. You're much less sensitive to where someone is and much more sensitive to what they're contributing, what their view is as a stakeholder, how they're going to participate.
Right. Well, you know, what's really interesting for managers, and this is becoming easier for young folks because I think they're already living this way, but some of the older managers have had to learn that it really isn't okay to have a team meeting where some people are in a room and others are not. The leveling of the playing field is just very, very interesting and very important to collaboration and to team belonging and team to collaboration. Essentially, what we've seen is that if indeed you are trying to achieve some kind of global reach and distance, it's better to actually have the whole meeting be a virtual meeting. More times than not, we've got a few people in a room and a few people on the call, and the people on the call get forgotten. People forget. I mean, it's purely etiquette. I have to tell you, it's more etiquette than technology. People forget to send out the slides. Some people bring slides into the room. And I'm sure you and others on this podcast have become aware that we're becoming so much more sophisticated about the etiquette in dealing with meetings. Meetings, essentially, because we just are operating with time as a huge resource, meetings are becoming are more scrutinized. If the content is not solid, if the management of the meeting is not well done, frankly, people resent the meetings and ultimately resent the manager. So my hypothesis is that managers are going to have to kind of, you know, get with the program and figure out, like, again, what is the channel and what is the content, and become a lot more structured about expectations and also about managing individuals who really like to be managed by objective. They don't really want to be managed by being seen. They just want to be told what's expected. They want to work with their coworkers, and then they pretty much can figure out how to best do that. So, yeah, the benefits to the employees are huge. The benefits to the company because of the savings are huge. And the benefits to the manager can be very big if indeed they understand how valuable this is to their work group, but to figure out new ways of managing them so that they don't inadvertently have the wrong channel with the wrong content, if that makes sense.
I think this is a question of how you convey information and how you get people to collaborate, what you have to do in person because you want to be at the whiteboard, and what's really more informing or consensus building or stakeholder management, which can be done remotely. There's still going to be times you want everybody together. It's very hard to have a big kickoff or, you know, a big rah-rah meeting without everybody there. On the other hand, there's a lot of informing that gets done, and one of the things I've noticed is that our in-person meetings tend to get longer, our collaborative or remote meetings tend to get shorter because people do their homework up front. And I think that it's all related to this issue of culture we talked about, which is I can go on the network and find the content I need. I can go do the pre-reading. I can go find, you know, through tagging or through searching, whatever it is I'm looking for first. So I'm coming in prepared to have a solid hour or a 20-minute discussion. And, you know, in general, I think that we're getting a little bit better about time management as a result.
Absolutely. And since time is such a valuable resource, I think the whole concept of productivity comes into play here. And productivity, as you know, can be measured for some types of work and really can't when it has a lot to do with innovation and creativity. It's hard to know how to measure the productivity of an engineer. But in all honesty, our perceptions, our self-perceptions of our increased productivity due to being able to make choices on the margin have really, really come into play here. I think people are seeing the advantage of not having to come in for unnecessary trips, and absolutely value coming in for those trips that are worthwhile. And I think that the increased productivity from not having to make non-essential trips is given back to the company and is also taken back by the employee as a benefit. So, you know, very interesting opportunities that we are learning how to manage much more effectively as we learn more about, you know, the pluses and the minuses.
And let me go in a slightly different direction here. As we've talked about collaboration and culture and cost savings, is this something interesting outside of Sun? I mean, we always talk about it. We like to show people what we're doing, but you know, your group is called the Services Group as opposed to the Information Technology Group.
Who are we and what do we do?
So great message inside of Sun. How are you taking this outside? What's the message here for anybody listening to this who's not a Sun employee?
Well, you know, what's been really interesting is that we started as an in-house consulting firm, if you will, a group of folks inside. We've got technologists, we've got anthropologists, sociologists, architects. I mean, we deal with the system called the work environment. So we're very, very keen on workforce needs, and we're very, very keen on providing the enablers, the infrastructure and the social enablers to make this work. And we, over time, have been called into our briefing centers by some of our customers who were intrigued because they come into our buildings and they kind of see a different way of working. And over the last couple, 3 years, we've actually been asked to consult for some of our companies, some of our customers who have come in and asked for some scar tissue advice, which clearly we have. You know, we've not done everything right over the last 8 years, but we've actually put a practice together that we've now made available to our customers, to Sun customers. And what we'll do is we'll do a data analysis on their behalf to try to figure out what their workforce looks like and how their workforce works. And then we have a very simple methodology for helping our customers figure out if this is something that they'd like to try to do themselves. We help coach them and their internal organizations, usually IT and real estate and HR, on how to build a program like this for themselves. And it's become a really neat practice. We've got several consultants, and we do the work inside and outside. So what's kind of fun about that is we certainly share our best practices from anything that we've done either right or wrong inside Sun. So we really shorten the cycle, the implementation cycle for our customers by doing that.
Great. So we always talk about innovation here, and we've talked about here sort of folding space and time to make people more efficient managers, about getting better control of data, about getting better control of desktop costs. What else is on the horizon for you? Where else do you think we're going in sort of this workplace management?
Well, you know, as you started off, what was going to be a sort of an experiment with trying to enable people to work from anywhere has had side benefits of significant cost savings. We're also experiencing other benefits that have to do with the new legislation around being green, in that we save lots of carbon dioxide from reduced trips, so we're saving CO2 emissions. But all of those have just been side benefits. The next gen that I'm currently experiencing is with, indeed, our CTO organization, our internal labs. As they continue to push the envelope around virtual work and distance work, we're starting to experiment with sort of a unusual combination of virtual and physical, where we're hoping to do some piloting this next year in the Bay Area, most likely, but also trying to get some distance involved in that. And we're going to try to build rooms that are physical rooms but also have virtual elements to it, flat screens with trying to connect in with other locations inside Sun. So, you know, I think the whole idea of the net being the computer is now turning into many of us being able to have identities on the network that could be simulated on the net and also physically into rooms. So the convergence of physical and virtual world is something of great interest to me. And we'd like to partner with startups and universities out there that have expressed interest in this, and it's going to become a really lovely project between the labs and the Open Work Services Group and anyone out there who is interested in changing the landscape of the work environment.
So, Anne, last chance. Anything else you want to go convey about what's happening in the Open Work Services Group?
Oh, well, Hal, I've just thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I'd really like to encourage people to come to visit us if they want to learn more about Open Work at Sun, as well as the work that we're doing with companies around the world, our customers and others. Anyone who's interested can find additional details on our website, website being sun.com/openwork. I encourage everyone to take a look, and also if anyone's interested in partnering with us about the next-gen melding of the physical and virtual world, please do check our website and give us a call.
Great. Well, Anne, I'd like to thank you, first of all, for being flexible in your work location and joining me today to talk about where we're going and changing both the workplace and the workspace to accommodate a bit more globalism and a lot more networking in the way that we work at Sun. And you have been listening to another episode of Innovating at Sun. I'm your host, Hal Stern.
You've been listening to Innovating at Sun. Join us next time for the latest in innovation from Sun Microsystems, only on the Sun Microsystems Podcast Network.